Hi everybody and welcome to April's panel podcast recording. Today, due to the current COVID-19 situation, we are recording separately from each other. So apologies in advance if the recording quality isn't up to its usual standard, but we are making do despite the situation. Whilst we don't have a normal panel guest for today's episode, I'm delighted to announce that we have our series producer, Ursi, joining us. So she, in our own way, is our special guest for this month. Rather than it being focused on a particular topic, we just thought that it might be nice to have a bit more of an informal discussion about how we're coping during this highly unusual and unprecedented time. Today is just with myself, Crystal, Renee, and Ursi. We hope that you enjoy.
Hi guys.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
So what I do love is that we're in like completely different places in the UK.
Yeah, all over the place.
Ursi's gone home to Nottingham. I'm in Lyon-Sea and Crystal's still in London.
Can we also just go one level deeper and talk about the specifics of the physical environment that we're currently in? Because the post, the quick photos that were shared on WhatsApp immediately before this recording, I found quite amusing. So if you could both just give a very short summary of where you're recording and what you may or may not be consuming alongside this recording, that would be wonderful.
So I am in my cupboard, which I have opened the doors out and I have strewn a couple of blankets and a big duvet over. So I'm pretty much sitting in the dark apart from my laptop screen recording this. I am rather jealous of you two lovely ladies drinking alcohol because I'm on my final week for my 3 months abstinence, which I do every year. I'm looking forward to a glass of Prosecco or potentially some gin this time next week.
Congratulations, by the
Good
way.
Effort.
Yeah, great effort. I am back in my mum's house in Nottingham and currently I'm in the guest bedroom because it has very low sloping ceilings and I'm in the corner surrounded by 4 soundproofing pillows and a glass of Prosecco.
And I am recording this from Chiswick in West London in our very glamorous study, which is covered in wood chip wallpaper from the 1970s, 60s. I am consuming a glass of red wine with the remaining few chunks of some very, very old Cathedral City mature cheddar, which is like so old that it's actually crystallized and delicious, deliciously crystallized after quite an intense day of back-to-back video conferences.
Nice. Love the crystallized Cathedral City. Kind of love that you're eating it on its own as well. Like no chutney, no grapes, no crackers, just like straight in there.
That would require kind of going into the outside world. The thing that is quite sad is that I have now have no cheese reserves left in the house. But I just thought after my final video conference of the day, I had time to quickly pour myself a glass of red wine and slice up some crystallized Cathedral City. So as usual, Renee and Ursi, you have been hard at work and even a glamorous trip to Scotland over the last month. So let's do a quick look back over the last 3 guests from the last month. So Ursi, would you like to kick off with Hannah Taylor?
Yeah, it's quite nice in a way that this panel show means that we can review all our Scottish episodes in one, which is lovely. Hannah was amazing to speak to. She's so inspiring. The amount of work that she juggles week to week, it was just like ludicrous to me. She's an editor of an independent magazine called The Delicate Rebellion, and she also runs an online community called The Collective. And all of the work that she does is just wonderfully creative, and it was fascinating to hear her talk about the way she splits up her day. I've actually taken on a few little lessons from her, including the way that she batches tasks, as she would say, which is she sets aside amounts of time to do one specific task of the day, be that emailing or a big task in the afternoon. Yeah, I love the way she works and the things that she gets inspiration from. It was super interesting talking to her.
She's a sister after her own heart. You know, she works tirelessly to promote other creatives, creating platforms. So The Delicate Rebellion is a magazine. It's a platform for other creative women. She promotes them, gives them space. The collective is a coming together of people learning from each other, skill swapping, giving advice and information. Yeah, I absolutely am in love with her. And like, I love, she uses the word diamond all the time and I've completely stolen it. I've completely appropriated it.
Well, that sounds great, especially given that you got some real practical tips and it sounds like you're actually putting them into action as well. Sometimes you hear things that are great ideas, but then the things that are really stick with you and change the way you behave are really powerful.
Definitely. She's also been keeping me going because she started making these lovely little care packages ever since the COVID situation got to the point where we were all stuck inside. She has been promoting getting kind of two of her lovely, beautiful magazines and a beautiful pin just for £5 on her website at the moment. So I've been flicking through those during my morning coffee, and I know Renee has too, just really loving reading them.
That's such a brilliant initiative. I love that.
Yeah, and we would definitely encourage anyone that's kind of needing some creative inspiration, go on the Delicate Rebellion site, you know, go and find a care package or any content that she has that she's still got for sale, because I know it's selling quickly. It's just, it supports other creatives and it is really inspirational.
Yeah, so check it out at www.thedelicaterebellion.com where you can find all of her great stuff, and obviously on Instagram as well to see her brilliant content. I'm kind of jealous that I missed out on the Scotland road trip. I want to come on the next one.
Yeah, we really missed you, I have to say. When it was full on, we were absolutely shattered.
But definitely need you on the next one. Especially for the late night little restaurant and pub ventures that we had. The guac and chips that Renee had on our last night there, I am honestly still dreaming about. It was monumental.
So good. Such good food.
That was the subtext of what I was saying, which is I just like to tag along so that I can help clean up the vegan tacos and guacamole that you sent me pictures of. I was very jealous.
So good.
We are such on a mission to get back. We really want to get back and make sure we go to Glasgow as well, because it's super creative there. There's lots of creatives and it's not just, you know, Scotland. We want to get to other parts of the UK as well and definitely extend the reach. So yeah, there'll be more of that kind of in the coming months.
Totally.
Yeah, and if you are a listener who enjoys this podcast and think that there's something interesting going on that we could come to and share and do some podcast recording or sessions, then reach out and let us know, because we are keen to expand our reach. I think we should get a date in the diary for Glasgow as something to look forward to during this time.
Yeah, summer would be good.
I'd love that, once we're finally allowed out of our homes.
Yeah, totally. So let's move on to Susie Lowe, the brilliant commercial photographer. Renee, would you like to talk a little bit about what you loved from that episode?
Yeah, so I met Susie Lowe last September, and actually she's like one of the big reasons that I wanted to head back, plus Hilary Joiner, who's actually going to be the next episode after this panel discussion. We got into loads of conversations about women working within the creative industries there. Both Hilary and Susie Lowe talked about being kind of first within their industry. Susie is super talented. She is amazing. Lifestyles, portraiture, commercial photography is just exquisite. And she's just really down to earth. What I really love about her episode is she talks about she really struggled at school. People told her she was stupid, that, you know, she could go work at the kind of corner store. And she managed to kind of find her way into printers and being printing photography. And she learned that way. And then she kind of went off and did a HND. And then she got accepted into Falmouth Art School, which is, you know, renowned for anyone who's wanting to do photography or art. And she's just built up her business and worked really hard, really grafted, and she's super talented. And it was such a lovely conversation. Ursi interviewed her. So Ursi, I don't know if you've got anything you want to add to that.
Yeah, it was so nice to speak to her. What really resonated, or that, something that I took away from it that really shocked me, was when I was asking her about her experience as a woman working in photography whether she'd ever come up against anybody who'd ever sort of said, oh, that's not a profession that you can do. Now she goes into jobs where people are expecting a man to fill that role and say, oh, when is the photographer coming? As if she's the assistant, and a surprise when she said, oh, I'm the photographer, which, yeah, just baffling and disappointing. But yeah, kind of working on this project and podcast is, it's not wholly surprising, but it is disappointing. Yes.
I'm actually a massive fan of Susie Lowe for a different reason, which is I'm a massive fan of Pink House Living, which is kind of a blog that is all around interior design, really. And it was only through this that I realised that Susie is a collaborator with Emily Murray, who...
Such a beautiful blog, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. I think I used so many screenshots and Pinterest clips in terms of designing my own living room. I was like a bit starstruck when I listened to realize that was Susie associated with Pink House Living.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful Instagram feed, but also blog. And yeah, so Susie's the resident photographer. She does all the photos.
It's amazing. I mean, I feel like when you both come around to my house, you will see the parts of my house where I've tried very much to emulate the Pink House Living vibe.
I actually can't wait to see that. Will you serve us crystallized Cathedral City?
I will. I'll tell you what. I will. I'll buy a proper pack and then like cut it in half and then leave the pack half opened in the fridge for a couple of months so that it really like hardens and crystallizes for you, and give you the full crystal Pink House Living experience.
What a treat.
I am going to kind of get in there and say you'll have to do a vegan version as well.
Thank you. Sorry. I don't even know whether vegan cheese crystallizes. I honestly think it might just like sweat, just continue to sweat.
Turns to rubber.
That has slightly scar. I'll try and find something that kind of like fossilizes over time. Maybe if I do some kind of like dehydrated smoked tofu or something.
Oh, do you know what, that actually sounds really good. I don't know if that's just my weird vegan brain, but dehydrated smoked tofu is definitely something I'd order.
Actually, Crystal, we have to tell you about both of our obsession, because actually I went and bulk bought a load of this to go on our train trip to Scotland. So Ella makes these amazing, so Ella Delicious makes these amazing almond caramel buttercup. Sorry.
Yeah, what is she what called?
Deliciously Ella.
That's it, yeah.
Also Ella. Known as Ella Delicious.
I love that. I love that.
That is classic dyslexia in action.
So true. I love that.
Don't always allow me to take the piss out of you, Renee.
You can take the piss out of a dyslexic. Go wild, Krista.
Oh dear, I don't know what her actual second name is. I only know her as Deliciously Ella. She must
no,
have
her first name is her first name is Deliciously in her second name.
But anyway, we are obsessed by these cups, and yeah, I have to be honest, when I did my shop on the weekend thinking this could be the last time I go out for 12 weeks, I had to bulk buy some more.
I'm actually so impressed with your panic buying of Deliciously. Can you tell the audience how many of those you purchased?
Well, I have to be honest, something we've talked about actually. So I bought 4 packs of them, which isn't excessive because obviously I'm not panic buying because there's
that's pretty good
that might need them more. But what I did do was bought what I told you I was going to do and make my own. So I bought a load of stuff to make my own. So I've got the little cups. They're going to be slightly different. I bought dark chocolate. I bought crystallized pink Himalayan salt. Oof, and then peanut lovely. Butter. So I'm going to make these little peanut butter cups with salt.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I honestly can't wait to see. I'm sure I'm not going to actually see those in real life for quite a few weeks now. But I can't wait to see pictures. I'm sure they're going to be beautiful.
Well, when we finally are reunited, I'll make sure I bring a batch of those.
Yeah, I have to say, Renee, I actually ate your ginger and turmeric pickle that my mum made for you. Because I was like, this isn't going to last. Yeah, so my mum now is making some more for you. And then finally, we had Nikki Wilson, a curator, collector, and co-founder. I loved her line about when you're on your deathbed, your last thoughts are going to be in colour and visual things rather than how clever or intelligent you were in a given moment. So with that, she encouraged us to supplement that image bank and think about things that give you kind of compassion, that spark joy, that calm you, that you love. And it just made me think about being a little bit more of a, is it a mate, like a bit more of a maven in the things that I choose to like visually engage with. I just really like that image that your last moments you'll be imagining things in color, so invest and be more selective about the things that you look at. And the second thing I loved was just how she talked about sometimes having different experience with artists that she would work with. So some she would just have an immediate click and connection, and other times it would take a different route. And I guess the reason that resonated with me is because I think sometimes when you're working with people, it's really easy to just crack on with people that you have that immediate click with, but often kind of the best partnerships and working relationships can take a bit of time because you're approaching things from a different direction. And even though the immediate phase can be a bit frustrating or not immediately gratifying, they can end up in pretty great places. So that's what I loved about her episode.
What a woman. She was so interesting and vibrant and vivacious. I really came away from that whole experience just fascinated by all the things that she had to say. But mostly I really just want to see some of the artwork that she has done or potentially might do in the future now. She's obviously such an artist herself. I really hope that I see something that she creates one day. It was wonderful to kind of be in her own curated space recording that podcast. We were right there in it, sort of experiencing and seeing all of the artwork that she was talking about, and that was really wonderful.
I would love to go back, actually, the three of us, and on a warmer day. It was cold, didn't
God,
have the time. We didn't have the energy because we did 4 podcast recordings in a day, so it was full on. So yeah, we just did a quick whiz around the park, but oh my gosh, Jupiter Artland is beautiful, and I cannot wait to go back and visit it and really explore those artworks, because Nikki is super passionate again about supporting other creative beings and giving them space and a platform, but on a huge scale in this instance, to create work that is monumental, that is emotionally hacking at your soul just by being in the same space. And that sounds really violent, but it isn't. It's like a really beautiful thing to be in the presence of such incredible work, and knowing that those artists have had those opportunities because someone has gone, fuck it, let's make a massive park where people can create work that they won't be able to place or make anywhere else, just blew my mind.
Yeah, it instilled a lot of creative energy in me at a point in the day where we were kind of 3 out of 4 podcasts in and we were both really tired, and I know it just re-energized us both massively. It was lovely.
It was great. We even did a dance in front of a Grayson Perry tapestry,
which is a moment I will treasure for the rest of my life. It was glorious.
Well, let's toast with 2 alcoholic and 1 non-alcoholic drink to that moment, and also to perhaps revisiting in the summer with a little vegan picnic together.
I would love that.
So for full transparency, we are recording here on Wednesday the 25th of March, and we very recently, as in 2 days ago, had the announcement from our Prime Minister that we should all stay inside our houses, stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. And I think it's just important that we recognise that by the time this goes out, the guidance may be very different and the situation that we find ourselves in may be very different. But I thought it might be worth just asking the question to perhaps reassure our viewers or give a breadth of how different people respond to the situation in which we find ourselves. How have you personally been impacted by the situation, and how are you feeling today?
I can't lie to you, I'm quite an anxious person anyway, as you both know. And experiencing the news in its full force, in the way that it kind of happens, has been really overwhelming. I think I was like very alerted to the whole COVID thing right from the point where Renee and I were in Scotland 3 weeks ago. So I feel like I've felt the full force of every single news bulletin for the last 3 weeks. I've been like very in tune with it. And this week, especially like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I can feel my body is like run down from being on high alert, super anxious, not sure what's going to happen next, which is why I made the decision to come back home and be in Nottingham, because there's nothing more comforting than just coming home and being around family. Even when they're driving you crazy, even when they don't have the same views, there's just something nice about getting out of the city, being able to go for a walk in a field, being near the people that love you. So I'm feeling a bit more calm this week, but I'm definitely feeling the effects of being rumbled out of my routine in a way I didn't choose, having the uncertainty of how my job is going to look in a week's time, how my relationships look, because video calling is very different to how I normally live my life. Mostly, I feel a bit more zen today than I have in a while. It's been quite a back and forth of emotions for the past week and a half. Not to be dramatic, I know I love the drama, and also love a little anxious moments, but also it's been a lot.
So I don't think you're being dramatic or overly anxious. I think, like, at a time where it feels like there's so much upheaval and uncertainty, it is a really difficult time, and it is a period of adjustment. And as I think Boris may have said the other day, like, if you're going about your life and it feels normal, then that's kind of not really the point. So it is, and it should feel abnormal in some ways, and that's okay. So thank you for being so honest about it, because it is a difficult time and different people are experiencing it in completely different ways. And a reflection that I've had through speaking to different people is that at one point in a day or one day, a colleague may feel completely fine and I'm like quite at peace with it, and then the next day something small happens, like they drop a cup of tea or drop something and they just burst into tears and feel like they can't cope. You know, I think it's quite helpful as well to ask, how are you feeling today, as opposed to how are you? Because I think people's typical response to how are you is like, yeah, I'm fine, and kind of move on. Whereas we all need to acknowledge that the emotional reaction to this very strange period is going to change day to day, and that's completely okay.
I love that helpful tip about checking in a moment rather than checking in generally, because you're totally right. I definitely answer that question, how are you, in a very general, I'm fine sweeping statement way, but definitely might be more drawn to drill down into how I am in a present moment if I was asked about a time period. So yeah, thank you. I'll be taking that and using that tomorrow in my Zoom conferences.
Yeah, you could even say, how are you feeling this morning or this afternoon or this evening, to make it more, even more practical. Renee, what about you? How are you feeling?
I feel great. One, it's lovely to connect the three of us. We've been trying to catch up and it's really nice to hear your voices. I can get anxious, but I'm also really kind of, I just roll with the way things are. So I would say I am pretty much business as usual, being very aware that things are changing. And I'm not someone who obsesses over news either. I touch in the morning and then I don't need to keep checking up. But I am a catastrophizer. So I am looking ahead, and I've said to both of you as well, like, what happens in 4 weeks, 6 weeks time, you know, it's going to be a completely different playing field, and it won't be just the virus that's the issue. And that's what I'm worried about. So yeah, I would say I'm definitely forecasting and trying to think about what could come as opposed to what's happening now.
Well, do you get that as well? I totally relate to that, trying to look ahead and seeing what later on is going to look like. I think I'm a bit of an over planner. I will overthink about every last detail of everything, also in that catastrophizing sense sometimes. I have tried to kind of step back from that the last 2 days at least, because it wasn't getting me to a good place.
No.
What about you, Crystal?
Well, I've seen a couple of kind of funny / interesting Instagram posts which have referenced how this situation or this period of at least working from home is a kind of extroverted introvert's dream. And I'm not going to lie, there are definitely a lot of components that I feel at a personal level have really helped me in my mental health. I think, just to start with and to caveat, I do fully recognize the privileged situation that I'm in. I have full job security. I live in my own house. I'm not sharing with anybody that I don't know. So I recognize the immense privilege that I'm in within that situation. So obviously just speaking from my own experience and knowing that there are many people who don't have that, and that would bring a whole load of other kind of big worries and anxieties. I, over the last few months and perhaps this year, I think I have been really depressed, and a lot of the things that have caused that I think are related to not having a routine. To be honest, the lockdown and being at home has really allowed me to have that routine, which I'm really grateful for. So every day I have a similar routine. I'm getting a good amount of sleep. The days are like intense in terms of work, but I'm still getting out, doing an hour walk in the morning and coming back, and that allows me to feel like I have a bit more control over my day. So I'm having the routine. I also feel like from a work perspective, I've got quite a lot of focus and clarity because ruthless prioritization is happening at every level. So in terms of feeling like I'm having meaning and impact, I'm getting a lot more satisfaction through my work. And then that has the then add-on benefit of, because things are being prioritized, I'm working kind of more intensely, but probably fewer hours, or maybe I'm not working fewer hours, but I'm working more in a more focused way. But then I'm also able to connect with more people in a, like over a call or through house party, that I probably would have been a bit ashamed to do before if I'd wanted to have the contact with them but couldn't commit to, say, going to dinner. Today I'm feeling good. The biggest stress or worry that I have is about my parents not taking it seriously. I think both of them are at risk, because my dad is over 75 and has some underlying health conditions. My mum works at the airport, so is obviously in touch with a lot of people. And my brother, I think he actually has coronavirus currently. So very much trying to make sure that they're separated. But in terms of my own mental and physical health, working from home and the routine that it's afforded me has made me feel better than I have done in a long time, actually.
So. I'm so happy to hear you say that, Crystal. I'm honestly thrilled that you have peace of mind and that you have that routine that you've been so craving for such a long time. And it's super interesting as well, because as a person who also works in an office, I'm also finding the working from home situation to be really bloody efficient and really like, interesting, like, that I feel like everyone around me is super focused. All of the Zoom meetings, as much as it it can annoy me that I'm in a Zoom meeting every other hour of the day, I feel like it does force everybody to have a really focused mindset, and that we are achieving a lot. I'm in a bit of a potentially less secure position because my work is so client focused, but I do feel like the work that I am doing is really streamlined currently, and I'm also really loving the routine of kind of getting up, having that little bit more sleep, not doing the stressful commute in London, and then being able to get up and go for that hour walk every day. I do feel quite grounded in that amongst all the hecticness.
Like Chris actually and my husband were saying, that a lot of the things that I talked about as, you know, just a few weeks ago being the things that caused me the most anxiety on a day-to-day basis, like my commute, actually have dissolved. And it's so funny, because when you feel mentally better than you have done before, you almost forget what an awful place that you were in. But I feel like where I have been has been so dark and anxious and unhappy, and a lot of the kind of structural things, like for example not having a commute or being able to reapportion that time to going and having a walk and being in the outdoors and around nature, has just so significantly helped. I can't even remember how awful I was feeling, even though it was for such a long time. You know, I think also, you know, you have a bit more control, weirdly, over a video conference than a meeting, like in terms of whether you choose to show up versus sort it out over email or something else. So I also think that a lot of the things that, if I was doing like a color coding of all the things in my diary, things that give me energy versus take away energy, virtually all of the things that have took away energy from me, which was my all day, every day, have really dissolved.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm so pleased to hear that. That's so great, Crystal. And it's so great that you're being energized in terms of your focus with work as well, because it has been stressful. And I think it's really important that while we're here, we should acknowledge that you have also recently had a couple of wins.
Oh, congratulations! Yes.
So not only were you one of the 10 winners for Advertising Week's Europe's Future Female, you have also been listed as one of Forbes 30 under 30 in Europe.
Yeah! You are amazing.
Thanks, ladies. I appreciate that. It's definitely been a weird time because those things feel slightly trivial in the current climate, but personally they feel really special to me. And also given, as you both know, what a kind of difficult time I've been having personally, I've just felt like I've been able to privately enjoy those things a lot, and I'm really proud and thank you for the recognition and for being part of it. I really appreciate it.
Well, fuck privately. I think you should publicly enjoy all of those things as a recognition. You're amazing and so deserving of both of those accolades and many more. Scream about them from the top of your lungs.
Oh, thank you. And if anyone who's listening wants any help with kind of application writing or anything like that, then feel free to drop me or us a line. Is really happy to help other people get those things because they're really useful to have from a kind of CV, but also just from a connections perspective, because I guess if it wasn't for example the Wackel Future Leaders Award, then we wouldn't have met and this wouldn't be happening right now. So anything I can do to help anyone else on that, very gladly will do.
Can I just interject before you move on? Because there's one point I really... So I have been thinking about Wally and Mina, and I think it is now the time that Wally obviously can't go outdoors, that he should attempt to peel a raw egg.
oh my God, yes!
So good!
Can we please make this happen, and can we do it on an Instagram Live, please?
I guarantee you, I will do that right here, right now. I commit to doing that because, you know, I guess the other side of this is that Wally's actually really sad and bored at the moment because he's basically forced to be housebound, and his one joy in the world, other than like peeling uncooked boiled eggs, is fishing. And you know, we've said like it's not a good idea for you to go out because he's 75, so actually I think the egg challenge will be exactly what he needs.
That will keep him occupied for at least 3 days.
I swear watch this be our most interacted with content that we've ever done.
100%. Let's carry on the conversation, because I think that Ursi, you alluded to some kind of unexpected outcomes of the COVID situation, specifically around how you're working. So I'd love to hear a little bit about any unexpected outcomes, either good or bad, that have come about through COVID-19 or generally being restricted to being at home. Renee, would you like to kick off?
Yeah, sure. So what I think is really interesting is that people beyond my immediate social circle, so friends that I'm friends with, but you know, I only maybe see a couple of times a year, everyone's reaching out and checking in and making sure everyone's okay. I have to be honest, I've had so many conversations in the past week with people I haven't spoken to for a couple of months, maybe even a year, which is delightful and really interesting. But I'm also laughing. It's like, oh my God, everyone's calling at once. And I think that's actually really beautiful in terms of times of high anxiety, high uncertainty, instability in terms of people's jobs, financial situations, work lives, mental health, physical health. People are making sure that they're going beyond the immediate. And I think that maybe goes back to a little bit about what you were talking about, is actually it's having time. Like, this has opened up time in different ways. People can go for a walk in the morning or make a call in the morning before they have to jump into their work day. And yeah, I've really, really enjoyed that. I was speaking to my best friend in Brisbane this morning, Pascal, and you know, we were having lots of hilarious conversations about everything that's going on, but we were also talking about that element of the network and how that network kind of contracts and tightens in times of need and crisis, which is a really beautiful thing, because it's still early days where we're at the moment. So yeah, I think that's actually been a really beautiful thing to reflect on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you, Renee, on everything you just said in terms of it opening up different like pockets of space that you didn't have before. I mentioned already about axing my commute. I think for the last 5-6 months or so, that kind of element of really hectic London life has been really pressing on my mind and my sanity, and not having that hustle and bustle has been really freeing. And definitely I've experienced lots of friends kind of checking in on each other, and that kind of feeling of that wholesomeness and that far-reaching love, I guess, essentially, has been really, really nice as well. Feel quite grounded where I am. I think being back home is always quite grounding for me generally, but I am quite conscious of, I'm somebody who likes control and likes to know what the next step is, and is, I'm a bit of a planner, so not knowing how long this is going to go on for. I mean, I packed for a week initially when I came up to Nottingham, and I've been here 9 days, so there's a little bit of a balancing act for me in terms of, oh, isn't this nice, and oh god, how long is this going to go on for, like, where are we? Which is quite strange. I like working from home far more than I thought I would. I'm not usually somebody who enjoys that when I'm in London, but I think that's often because I feel a little bit left out of the office environment that is happening without me, whereas now that that's not happening without me and everybody is working from home, I kind of feel a lot more at peace with it and feel like everybody is just kind of on the same trajectory of kind of streamlined working in this way, which is lovely. Definite pros. I'm definitely going to take a lot from having had this experience, and I've learned a lot of things about myself and the way that I like working, which I didn't know before. I'm definitely making more of my mornings, as Renee says, and having that extra hour where you could call a friend or could just like have an hour to yourself that I didn't have before. How about you, Crystal?
I agree, actually. It makes me think back to, I can't remember what it was that I wrote it for, but I think there was something that I did where someone asked me the question, what would you do if you had an extra hour a day? And I think I like chunked it up into saying like, oh, I'd spend 20 minutes exercising, chatting to my parents, and 20 minutes reading a book. And I feel like that has manifested itself in that I can now do that walk while speaking to my parents, and then have the choice in the evening as to what I spend my time doing. I think it's really changed my relationship with the news and social media. So while I was really struggling with my mental health a few weeks ago, I decided to just completely come off Facebook and Instagram. And I think I did that for a few weeks. And then I re-downloaded them, I think, when I went skiing, where I had an amazing time. I think being close to nature and being outdoors was amazing for me. Anyway, and then coming back in, I feel like this situation has made the type of content that I'm interested in so bizarre, in that I'm only really interested in content that will really like either shock me to my core or make me laugh, and everything else I feel quite like bland and indifferent to. So there's nothing that I'm particularly interested in, like, whereas historically I would have like read, I don't know, like Jay Rayner's restaurant review or Grace Dent's restaurant review, and like consumed a lot of content. I'm kind of just like, don't have that much interest in it right now. And then just finally, sorry, I realise I've been going on for a while and sounds like I'm just having like the best time, which seems weird at this point in time. I think just in the workplace, as I alluded to earlier, you know, Google's goal has always been around like being helpful to people. And I think that this has really sharpened everyone's focus on doing that, and meant that like decision-making processes are quicker. As I said earlier, there's more ruthless prioritization. There's just a much clearer sense of like what is helpful, what will help other people to do things, whether that's helping to educate or helping businesses or helping parents. And that's made me feel really like proud to be part of that business. So they are some of the unexpected outcomes of COVID for me.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm glad that you've kind of had similar moments to me of unexpected peace within all of the craziness.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about that. Like, I think we'll touch on it later, but I think there'll definitely be some seismic shifts in the workplace and in other contexts as a result of this period in history. Thank you both for sharing some of those unexpected outcomes from the COVID situation. More on that next panel recording. Let's move on now to top recommendations for read, watch and listen, because lots of people, as we know, may be at home. Obviously, some people will be the primary carers for either children or elderly parents or other people in their households. But there will also be people who have a bit more spare time. And if you're anything like me, I'm now trying to be really disciplined about not allowing every evening to be filled with watching Netflix, but instead use it a little bit more productively. So as two of the most brilliant creative minds in the UK and beyond, I think our listeners would love to hear what you are reading, watching, or listening at the moment as potential recommendations for them as they think about new ways to fill their day. Ursie, would you like to kick off?
Absolutely. So I've been trying to do a little unplug, but my go-to wind down activity at the moment kind of combines my reading and my listening, and also a new activity, which is puzzling. I have bought a one.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So I bought a 1,000 piece puzzle and I am loving it. And I am doing my 1,000 piece puzzle every single day, listening to an audiobook. And let me tell you, it's blissful.
I was so not expecting you to say that, but I'm so happy that you have.
But it also connects another thing that I didn't realise is I sent you a competition. I sent both of you a competition today because Laura Cunningham has like designed a Frida Kahlo puzzle. And I was like, oh, ladies, enter this.
It's gorgeous.
Well, if I win it, Ursie, it's yours.
Oh, no, you have to do it. It's beautiful. And I feel like you've got a good chance of winning, actually. When you told me about your entry, I was like, yeah, to be fair.
Yeah.
Definitely a strong one. I'm not even going to say it on air because I think other people will steal it.
Can we not just all do this like in a field in Glasgow in July?
Yes.
Well, you know, like Jupiter Artland has their festival called Jupiter Rising, and I am seriously considering going. So maybe we should consider doing
that. If it still happens, I really, fingers crossed, I hope it doesn't go like Glastonbury and get postponed. I really want it to, but I'd love to go to Jupiter Rising.
Me too.
It looks amazing.
Same. It's in September. Well, why don't we look into that and keep an eye on that, depending obviously on what happens globally.
Can we do a road trip there and chronicle it?
Yes.
That would be amazing.
I would love that.
Can we stop drive in a few cities on the way, picking up a few interviews as we go?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. We can drive in the electric car, so it's not impacting the environment. We can stop it in a few key cities along the way and end up in Jupiter Artland. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
let's
do it. Gotta make it happen. That will be so brilliant.
I'm so into that. So into that. But yeah, I wholeheartedly recommend puzzling to both of you. It like hones my focus so that I don't think about anything else. I'm just thinking about my puzzle and also my audiobook. And I've been listening to, I'm so late to the party on this one, but I wasn't sure whether I was going to read this book. Renee and I have had like many conversations about how we feel about this podcast. I'm not sure if we've actually spoken about it before, Crystal, but Elizabeth Day's How to Fail. I don't know if either of you have read her book, but I am sort of four or five chapters into that now, and I'm actually really, really enjoying it. And her reading the audiobook kind of brings this kind of extra level of like an extended podcast feel to the whole thing as well, because I'm so used to listening to her interview people, and then you get the audio clips that she draws upon from her experiences podcasting as well, which is really, really nice. So totally recommend that to anybody who just wants a bit of a break.
So I was actually just gonna add, like, throw a complete like bomb into the read, watch, listen, but I also just had one final question for Ursie, which is like, what is the ultimate puzzle picture that you're working towards? I really need to visualize
the ultimate puzzle picture is, it's called Botany. It's by a company called Cloudberries, and it is a woman lounging across a chaise longue with the most amount of like vibrant patterns in one picture you could imagine. So there's like different pattern cushions, chaise longue, wallpaper, background. It's like an absolute print catastrophe in the best way, and I love it. I can't wait to show you.
I love it. And also, sorry, I realize I'm like just picking up loads of different bits, but I do feel like as a team, like the ultimate, what I'm working to and like what to me would be like the ultimate sign of success would be if Laura Callahan like made an illustration for us for greater than 11% of the three of us. That would just be like my ultimate dream.
I totally agree. That would be amazing.
It would be like a life made moment, you know.
That's been your dream from the beginning, because I remember you saying to me, we should get her to do it. And I was like, I think she's quite busy, but fingers crossed.
Maybe so, the war of attrition starts now.
Yes.
I agree. Well,
she has to be incorporated into the road trip somehow.
Oh, I mean, imagine.
Where is she based?
I want to say Brighton, but I'm not sure.
Great question. I am actually not sure either.
We'll make it happen. Sorry, I realised I've been like very distracted in my response to the read, watch, listen question. But I'm actually just going to focus on one, which is watch, mainly because of the reaction it will provoke within Renee, which is Love is Blind.
Oh, I've done it. I've finished it.
You finished it? No. Oh my God, I've not even finished it.
I want to go back to Ursie's trash and treasure
concept.
Ursie recommended on the way to Scotland that I watch Love is Blind, which after starting watching it, I was not very happy because I got addicted to it and was messaging Ursie going, why did you recommend this? I can't believe I'm watching this, but couldn't stop watching it. I feel like I've trumped you there.
Yeah, you really have. Like, you've seen me and you've raised me. Yeah. But in some ways, I actually think it's like a bit of an eerie precursor to dating today, in that people are obviously not, they can see each other face to face. Like, I now hear that like house party is like key replacement for face to face date. So whilst people might still be using dating apps, they'll then add each other on house party. Like a friend of mine, for example, has a house party date tonight. Even though it's not the whole hog of like not seeing somebody before you enter into a very serious relationship with them, I think there will be some real positives around people getting to know each other without having the like immediate physical gratification first. You know, like, do you remember younger days where you'd spend ages on the landline talking to somebody on the phone and felt really special times? So I think Love is Blind, I'm just going to throw it out there as my watch, which controversially was not controversial to you, which is great and makes me feel much better about myself, but also has an interesting, it has interesting importance within the context of what it's like to be dating in the current COVID situation. Renee, last but not least, what are your top recommendations for a read, watch or listen whilst people are at home during this time?
So I'm going to do a shameless plug here. So we have just had a guest blogger on our greaterthan11%.com website. And her name is Zoe Sanders. She's an amazing woman. She works in storytelling and working with brands. And she attended our event, which was 2 weeks ago before lockdown. We just squeezed it in and it was all about visual storytelling. And I had not met Zoe before. I'd met her husband and she'd heard about the event and she came along. And she lives not far from me in Lyon C. And she was really inspired after the event and started doing doodles and drawing, etc. And we got into a conversation via Zoom. And she's written a blog, 9 Ways to Be Creative in This Period of Isolation. So we wanted to put something out there that could keep people busy, keep people creative, keep people distracted if that's what they're looking for. And so, yeah, that's what I've been reading. And I'm happy to say it's up on our site, so you can find it on our blog page. What I'm watching, which has blown my mind, and it has distracted me slightly because I do want to give a shout out to BFI Flare, which had to basically not go ahead, but they have been streaming online. And there's a couple of films on there that I have earmarked to watch. But in between actually watching those, I've been distracted on Netflix by The Tiger King, which is one of the most fascinating documentaries I have seen in a long time. The people, the stories, they are so out there and so different from any experience that I have had. And I've really, really enjoyed it. I've talked to everyone I know about it. So everyone who's been catching up with me, I'm like, oh my God, you have to watch that.
That's so interesting because I've been really put off by the trailer on Netflix around that. I've kind of been a bit confused as to why it's like serving me that content, but given that you have recommended it, I will definitely check it out.
I mean, I would say be prepared to be shocked. It's not like going to warm your cockles, but it is the psychology and the behaviours that people either fall into or are drawn to, and the way manipulation of capital in terms of either an animal or a human, and how they play out over time. And this kind of documentary has played out, I would say, maybe over 15 years, 20 years. And it is fascinating. And it's, yeah.
I'm definitely going to check it out. I am so intrigued by your review and your obsession. So I'm 100% going to watch that.
And then a podcast that's been on my radar, but I've never dipped into, that I would like completely rate and really, really love, and the two women are incredible, is called Is This Working? Do you guys know that podcast?
No, I haven't heard of it.
I actually don't know. What's that one about?
Yeah, so it's kind of, I found it through Creative Rebels, who I love, I obsess over in terms of their content. I really, really enjoy it. And it's about creative careers and work life and trying things differently. And what I really like is it's really thoughtful and not trying to push an agenda. Anna and Tiffany, I think it is, just talk through different kind of scenarios or different other elements. Yeah, I just really, really enjoy it.
Thank you, Ursie and Renee, for those brilliant recommendations. Hopefully our listeners will have lots of great content and stimulus to help them get through the day, whether that's an early morning walk or listening to it with partners or children or anybody else. I am definitely going to do some downloading and ordering as a result of that conversation. I just wanted to end the podcast with reminding people of the formula around emotional resilience that Adam Grant and Sheryl Sandberg laid out in their book Option B, because I appreciate for a lot of people this will be a really difficult time and a massive period of adjustment, but I often find those three P's really helpful to look back on. The first one is remembering that when a situation feels really bad, it's not permanent. So this situation at the moment, as intense as it feels, is not going to be forever. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. And even if plans get cancelled, think about things that you can put in the diary to look forward to, like our Glasgow trip, for example, that will help pull you through this difficult time. So that's the first P, permanence. The second is personal. In periods of particular darkness, it can feel like everything is going against you and not going your way. But remember that it isn't personal. Everyone is going through this and struggling in their own way. And if you feel like you can, try to talk to other people about it as well, so you don't feel so alone. And you can always reach out to us through the Greater Than 11% Instagram channel. And thirdly is just around pervasiveness. So this is that whilst one particular area of your life might be really highly disrupted or feel really difficult at the moment, like a relationship that's particularly strained or work that feels really ambiguous or at risk at the moment, look for the other areas of your life. Having your like lovely coffee in the morning or going out for a walk or listening to a podcast or whatever it might be, just to remember that like not all areas of your life are not good. And those three P's just help pull me through some dark moments. So I just wanted to share that. Any final notes from you, Ursie or Renee?
Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate that point you made. You know, you can always reach out to us if anyone's kind of feeling either a little bit lonely or disconnected, or they would just like to have a creative conversation about things to do and how to do it. Please reach out. We would so be happy to get in touch, have a chat, have a Zoom, do some DMs, share some emojis, anything. So please do, because it is a very strange time. No request will be ignored.
Hear, hear. And I'd just like to say also that there's been some online pressure to maybe utilize this time at home to be the most productive or creative that you possibly can be. And it's totally okay to also just do nothing and come back to that creativity at a point where you feel like you can as well. It can be a recharge, it can be an energize and go forward, and neither is the wrong thing to do. Happiness is obviously the thing that everybody should be striving for.
Yeah, that is such a great point, because there's a lot of pressure to do a lot of things, and sometimes it's just laying on the sofa and deep breathing. That is all you need to do.
So with that, we're all sending you so much love. Reach out, we're here to chat, support, toss around creative ideas, open up our networks, whatever it might be to support you. Please stay safe and healthy, and we look forward to recording the next episode.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Crystal.
Thank you, guys. Lovely to speak to you.
You too. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Be dating in the current COVID situation.
Is Chris preparing dinner?
Yeah, let me just. Chris! Hold on one sec. Chris!
Love is not blind, Chris.
Can you stop bashing stuff around, please, my love? It's coming through really loudly.
Love is not deaf.
It's coming through really loudly, all the pots and pans and stuff that you're smashing about.
This is.
You think you could maybe just shut the kitchen door?
Oh, poor Chris. Bless him. He's been so helpful.
Yeah, I don't know how it's possible to make that much sound preparing dinner, but anyway.